The work of this church in the world is realized through the generous financial support of all who call this place home. Along with the gifts and time and talent, ours is a shared ministry. You have a role to play here. Church membership is open to all. For more information, go to uusf.org.
Good morning, First Unitarian Universalist Society of San Francisco. I've been looking forward to returning to your historic pulpit for months, and it's such an honor, always an honor, to touch this sacred historic pulpit where Reverend Thomas Starr King himself preached here from April 28, 1860, to his death on March 4, 1864. Thomas Starr King was credited, as you know, for saving California for the Union during the Civil War. He preached up and down the Golden State in favor of saving California for the Union so that it would not be admitted as a slave state. In Starr King's word himself, he said, "I pledged California to a northern republic and to a flag that should have no treacherous threads of cotton on its wrap." As one of the most vocal white abolitionists of his time, Reverend Thomas Starr King stirred the soul of early California. He stirred the soul of a nation and asked us to be certain about our commitment to justice and liberation. Preaching, "Be sure to know the foundations of your life," Thomas Starr King said. "Know why you live as you do. Be ready to give a reason for it." Reverend Starr King asks us to be clear to what our life is committed to. He died at only 39 years old and spoke with a fire that recognized the brief and precious gift that life truly is. Starr wanted us to be clear of our foundations as Unitarian Universalists. 160 years later, in 2025, the Unitarian Universalist Association calls us forward. Reverend Dr. Sophia Betancourt was quoting our colleague C.B. Beale, saying, "We must be intentional about moving fear out of the center and replacing it with love over and over and over again as many times as is necessary." Now, the work of Adrian Marie Brown's emergent strategy emphasizes the power of relationships. As a queer woman of color, Adrian's work talks about the strength of our movement is the strength of our relationships. Scaling up would mean going deeper, being more vulnerable, opening our heart up, and being more empathetic. Emergent strategy draws from the work of biomimicry, which is the practice of looking into nature's time-tested patterns, systems, and strategies to inspire human innovations. The idea of biomimicry is that living organisms and ecosystems have been evolving for billions of years, so their solutions to survival, whether in design, materials, energy use, or community balance, can guide us in solving human challenges. Adrian says, "All of us know something, and together we know a lot." The vulnerable island nations like the Philippines are on the front lines of climate change. As you heard Lori talk about earlier, two typhoons recently hit the Philippines, the 20th of the season and the 21st of the season. Typhoon Tino was the 20th and hit the Central Visayas. 10 of our 25 UU churches were directly impacted, and dozens of families lost their homes, lost their crops, lost the animals that survive off of the crops. And so Typhoon Tino slammed directly into our UU churches. Most of our UU family in this part of the world rely on the land for their survival. So the funds that you raise today are going to go towards supporting directly the people affected. The spirit of Bayanihan, or collective solidarity, is what Lori and I both talked about. There may be an image that we could show with the spirit of Bayanihan. Many outside the urban areas live in traditional Baha'i Kubo or Nipa hut homes, and these homes are built on bamboo. So there's long rows of bamboo at the bottom of these homes. As you can see here, the people literally lift the community's homes in times of volcanoes, typhoons, floods. The Philippines is the most prone country to natural disasters in the world, and it's created a sense of collective solidarity. That sense of collective solidarity is this image of Bayanihan, where one by one, your home is moved to safety, away from the lava, away from the flood, away from the volcano. And this bamboo that's at the traditional sense of the Baha'i Kubo is both strong and flexible. In times of trauma, the bamboo learns to bend and not break. Beneath the surface, the bamboo roots spread wide beneath the ground. Bamboo interlocks its roots with other bamboos in the area, sending nutrients, sending support. If there's something attacking one bamboo, these underground networks can help support the other bamboos. Some bamboo species can grow up to 1 foot per day and take only 3 to 5 years to reach maturity. Bamboo's rapid growth rate, its resilience, and its ability to sequester and capture carbon dioxide has made it a critical fight against climate change. Can we, Unitarian Universalists, learn to bend and not break like the bamboo? What is the ancient medicine that nature has always been trying to teach us? That we humans are not as separate from the earth as we would like to believe. Now, some key takeaways from emergent strategy is this that Adrian teaches: small is good, small is all. The large is a reflection of the small. It's about fractals, the patterns of the universe that repeat at scale, because what we practice at the small scale sets the patterns for the whole system. So take away these 8 points from this sermon. 1, change is constant. Be like water. 2, there is always enough time for the proper work. 3, there is a conversation in the room that only these people can have at this moment. Find it. 4, never a failure, always a lesson. 5, trust the people. They will become trustworthy. 6, move at the speed of trust. Move at the speed of trust. 7, focus on critical connections more than critical mass. And 8, less prep, more presence. What you pay attention to grows. First Unitarian Universalist Society of San Francisco, let us weave our roots of love tightly together like the bamboo, strong and interlocked. Let us look to guidance as from nature as we resist fascism and all its ugly and terrible forms. Let us hold fast to our values of love and justice and remember the spirit of Thomas Starr King as to guide us on our path to becoming the anti-racist, anti-oppressive, multicultural, global community that Dr. King called an inescapable network of mutuality, tied to a single garment of destiny. May the Bayanihan spirit of collective solidarity help us build a world with love and justice for every last one of us. Amen. Kapalaran, may it be so.
Why do I feel such a deep fondness for our UU siblings in the Philippines? I'd like to share why.
Thanks.
As a UU, I genuinely believe that our faith offers people everywhere, including those in the Asia-Pacific region, a wonderful opportunity to explore their own spiritual journeys. I also cherish having the chance to go on a meaningful pilgrimage in 2019, just before the pandemic, visiting many UUCP congregations. It happened almost by chance, or perhaps it was meant to be. I first heard about a Philippines pilgrimage when a flyer was handed to me at the 2019 General Assembly in Spokane, Washington. Growing up in Hawaii with Filipino relatives and visiting the Philippines a few times on business trips, this small gesture sparked my curiosity. I decided to book a flight to Negros Island in October 2019. Shuli brought a video camera to capture special moments along the journey, and what started as a simple recordings quickly turned into creating a heartfelt documentary about the Unitarian Universalist Church of the Philippines. Through inspiring interviews and meaningful conversations with ministerial and lay leaders, I was able to build genuine connections within the UUCP community. The UUCP community has been a vibrant and evolving part of UU history since Reverend Toribio Kamada founded it in 1954. It started with just 9 congregations in the northern Negros Oriental, and over the years, under his inspiring leadership, it grew to include over 25 congregations. In 2019, Reverend Rebecca Kamada Sienas and Percy Mark Kamada Sienas, his daughter and grandson, shared heartfelt stories about the UUCP journey. Despite facing incredible challenges, including Reverend Kamada's tragic martyrdom in 1988 for standing up for his values, the community's resilience and growth are truly inspiring. I also learned that UUCP has faced difficulties in securing steady funding because most of its members are subsistence farmers earning just over $10 a day. These earnings must cover household costs, farming supplies, and equipment. With the average household in the Philippines consisting of 4 people, often more in rural areas, there's little, if any, for UUCP members to donate to their local church. Jen C. Condes, who was training to become a minister in 2019, shared that her congregation in Nataban, where Reverend Kamada's original church headquarters was located, couldn't afford to install jalousies in the open windows of their church building because they typically collected less than $1 each Sunday. On rainy days during worship, some members had to move from the wet side to the dry side of the chapel, depending on the wind direction. This profound story really touched me, especially since I started life with humble beginnings. One of my most heartfelt dreams is to see UUCP flourish in a sustainable way, transforming into a genuine UU spiritual home for people throughout the Asia-Pacific region. I truly believe that this can make a wonderful contribution to building a loving, just, and peaceful world, especially as the influence of this region continues to grow worldwide. Cebu, where Reverend Kevin Mann is soon to dedicate 2 years of UU work at his and Reverend Kamada's ancestral home, holds a special place in this vision as a bustling financial hub in the Philippines with a lively community of urban professionals and excellent transportation links across Asia Pacific. Cebu City is ideally situated to support this journey. Reverend Mann aims to start a fellowship in Cebu Island with some of his extended family and others interested in exploring our faith. Currently, a pressing concern for UUCP is that 10 out of its 25 congregations were directly affected by Typhoon Tino earlier this month. I will be reaching out shortly to ask your support for their relief efforts. During my 2019 pilgrimage, I had the opportunity to visit several of these affected congregations, including the Doldo Congregation, UUCP Church Administrator Reverend Armand Pedro's home congregation, Ule Congregation, Bagong Silang Congregation, and Nataban Congregation, where I met Jensi. I am truly grateful for this chance to share my story about my passion for supporting UUCP. I am excited to join some of you on a visit to the Philippines early next year. Let's all keep this incredible journey going together.